Beloved and holy and only child of our Heavenly Father, child of the one source, child of light, divine. That is who you are. Take it deeply within the consciousness and contemplate what that means. I am the one known as Jeshua ben Joseph. Jesus, you have called me. And it is in great joy that I come once again to be with you in this way. Great joy, great energy. Therefore, we will use that energy to have the questions that some of you have been mulling about, thinking about, questions that perhaps have been sparked by some of the messages earlier in this week. Report, first of all. Did anyone remember the little bit of homework last night before you were to lay the head upon the pillow? Oh,
there was homework last night? Missed
it. Yes, there was homework last night.
Don
had homework.
Yes? Don? Well, I remembered the homework, but I didn't get it.
We all flunked again.
I believe there was one. Who remembered the homework? What was your experience, beloved one? We need a microphone up here, please. It is for this one who is turning around trying to give it to someone else. We would hear of your experience.
The UFO.
Oh, the UFO, yes. Yeah. That's right.
Yes.
Yeah, I was inviting the Space Brotherhood in. I projected myself onto a ship, and we had some hugs. And then I looked out, and then there was a huge light. Boom. And I was wondering if that was a...
Yes.
A play, a contact.
It was a contact,
it was.
Yes. Very good. You see, the homework was to remember the past and to project yourself into the future and to think about what would be the Space Brothers and the welcome and how this would come about, the contact. And so this one, beloved brother, went out and projected, invited, and manifested a coming together of the communication. It was so cool, yes. And then there was the questioning, did this really happen? Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it did really happen. It is as easy as that. It is just to have the intent, have the invitation, and then to trust, to know, to expect, and it will be there. For as we have been saying all of this week, the Space Brothers and Sisters, although most are androgynous, are waiting for your invitation, for your welcome. They are very much here with you, very much remembering the past that was before Holy Mother Earth, even before the planet Maldak and the asteroid belt. They are waiting for you to wake up and remember the association you have had with them. And so when you go with pure intent, and when you have even a small grain of expectancy, as small as you would see the mustard seed to be, that small, tiny, it can manifest. And then the human part will say, well, was that really, really true? Because especially the first time that it happens. But for some others of you, you have already welcomed the spaceships. You have already seen them over your dwelling place. You have already gone out in the evening time, the twilight, the dusk, and even the darkness of night, and you have seen the lights in the heavens, not just the stars, but you have seen the spaceships, and you have known that you are not alone. Especially those of you who can get out away from the city lights and away from the vibration of the city consciousness, you have been able to behold more of yourself and to manifest the communication. Now, in this evening, I would suggest that before you lay your head upon the pillow, before there is the opportunity to go into the Z trip. Some of you are very good at raising the rafters. But before you have that opportunity, go out and stand in the air, the fresh air, and invite the space brothers, the intelligence that is always around you, to make themselves known to you. Allow yourself to be known to them. Speak to them. It is much the same as we were speaking of the angels the other evening, how to communicate with your angels. Well, it is to start the communication, to just begin to talk as you would friend to friend, one you could see. Do the same with the space brothers. And then listen and watch and trust and know that they are there with you. So this evening, third time's the charm, I think you have a saying. We will try it for the third time. Before you lay the head upon the pillow.
I'm wearing a gown this time.
You may go out individually, if that is your want, your usual accustomed way. Or you may go as a group, a couple of you, a four of you, even six, to pool, as it is called, your energies together. And in quietness, you don't have to get all exuberant and scare them off, but in quietness, invite them. Those of you who are living in the communal living, you can go out as a group together and invite. Or just on your own, whatever feels right. Before you lay the head upon the pillow. So having said that,
did you enjoy the dinner?
I enjoyed the dinner very much. There is quite a variety. And beloved brother, I was there. I did sample the rice dishes, the spaghetti noodle dishes. The salad was exquisite. The dressing on the salad was to my taste, to my liking. And the shish kebabs, as you call them, were excellent. Everything was excellent, but what was greatest was the laughter, the dialogue, the sharing from heart to heart, and the ones being willing to chop, to make the food, to chop, chop, and to put everything together. It was beautiful.
We enjoyed it too.
Yes, that was the best part of it. The joy.
And the spaghetti was made by Sue and Dawn. It was provided by Eva.
Yes. It was a communal effort to bring it to the manifest being on the table. And the table was very full. The fruit also I enjoyed.
Yes.
It was very, very good. It is something that your heart desires to do more often. You, as you return to your dwelling place, what you call your home, and you're back into your employment or your usual activity routine, there is a longing in the heart to be together with others of like mind and of like heart. And so invite ones, if you can, who are in a close enough vicinity, to break bread with you and to share the food and the laughter together. It is something that you did as Essenes. It is something that you have known to do as you were in other constellations, other dimensions. It is in your way of thinking, a way of proving to yourself that you are community, that you are not alone, not just singular being. And so when you break bread together, there is a feeling of oneness. I would also thank all of you for the vibration of the beautiful prayer, which was said before the meal. I was very much there with you in that vibration of love and gratitude for what you were beginning or going to partake of. So yes, I very much enjoyed the dinner. If you have what are called the leftovers,
yes,
you can join together again in the morrow and eat the leftovers. I have heard my beloved friend and teacher, the one you know as Judith, say that leftovers are often better than the first overs. Thank you. You have been enjoying these days together. You have been coming alive, being able to share the true self of you, being able to share all of your questions, your doubts, your hopes, your dreams. You have been able to come alive and find others who also are in the same space of knowing and yet not knowing, wanting to have the affirmation that what you are feeling, what you have been intuiting, is true. And other ones, when you get to opening your heart and you share with your support partners and with the rest of the family so gathered here, you find that there is much of commonality. In other words, much that you share and have shared along the journey. Your hopes, your dreams, your questionings, your doubts. And then you come back to what I really know, what cannot be shaken from you. And each time you meet in this way, your knowing is reaffirmed and made stronger. Therefore, I am suggesting, as I did some years ago, that you meet in this way more often than just once a year. I will speak, have been nudging my beloved friend and teacher, the one you know is Judith, to bring together a winter gathering as well, and perhaps one in the autumn. Now, I know for some of you, you have made trek a long distance, and there is the question of the golden coins. But if you put aside a wee bit of golden coins each day, it adds up. And when you have a goal of something you want to do and you feel the value of it, then you make it manifest. No matter whether you have to ride a bus for 24 hours, etc., you make it happen. So I am suggesting, I only suggest, but I do strongly suggest that you might want to meet again before a year has passed. Mm-hmm. Now, how do you feel about that?
Great.
Great.
Yes. San Diego is a good area to meet as the northern parts get a little bit cooler and the San Diego stays a bit warmer, not completely warm, but more tropical, more warm. It is a possibility. You have a place.
Yes.
You have an open heart. You have an open home.
Yes.
And it is a possibility. So we will see how that works out. Mm-hmm. Perhaps as the days begin to get a bit cooler in the northern part, you will want to get together and stir up some heat, heart heat, with each other. So we will see what comes. Now, are there questions that you want to ask? Yes, microphone needs to go to the very last row.
Good evening.
Good evening, beloved brother.
I have two personal questions, if I may ask them.
Yes, you may. Oftentimes, just one moment here, I am very wordy. Oftentimes, what seems to be a personal question, others can relate to as well. So as you think you are asking just your own personal question, it often opens the doors and windows for other ones as well. So proceed, please.
The one you know as Sarah
yes.
requested a this says, how many lifetimes were she and I together in Lemira?
Truly more than you can count. You enjoyed, as many of you so gathered in this room and also within the sound of my voice, enjoyed Lemuria and the simplicity of living with nature and the simplicity of living from the heart, so that you would oftentimes not have what you call the distinct incarnations, where you have now the certain longevity of certain years of a lifetime, and then you release that body and decide that you'll recycle and come back again. Oftentimes you would extend one lifetime for several hundred years, and so it is hard to be finite about that which truly you made infinite.
Thank you. Second question is, my life changed dramatically when I entered my junior year of high school. Am I a walk-in?
Truly, there is not a walk-in as you would see a separate entity taking over the body. But there is what you call the evolution that can happen very quickly, so that you seem to be a changed person. This often will happen with ones as they have an experience of some revelation or some near-death or near-accident type experience.
Yes, I was in the hospital for 30 days shortly before that.
Exactly, yes. And you come out of that feeling renewed, feeling totally different than what you were before, and there is a change of focus, of interest, and of awareness, so that you say, I am not the person that I used to be. And this is true, because you have made evolutionary leap. But to speak of a walk-in as it is usually understood as a concept of a separate entity coming in and taking over the body that you have put together, manifested, and do manifest each moment, it is not that one would have that power. But you can have that power, that you are so changed that you feel that you are totally a new person. We spoke of this in another evening when I spoke of being a new person in Christ, when you come to that awakening.
Thank you.
Thank you. There is yet a question here, yes. Beloved one, what would you ask?
It's so wonderful to be here.
Very good.
Yeah, I have had such an incredible time.
You have had miracles every day.
I have had miracles every day.
Yes.
I have asked for miracles every day, too.
Yes. And you have been aware of them.
I have, yes.
Yes.
The question I have for you is, there are certain times that I can see into the air when there's fog or when there's sunshine, and I see, the best way for me to describe it is like miniature tadpoles of light. And they're moving. It's like they're swimming around.
Yes.
What am I seeing?
You are seeing energy. You are seeing light beings dancing around you. You are seeing the intelligence that we have been speaking of all of this week that surrounds you, and that oftentimes the worldly focus does not see, because it is so intensely focused upon what would be more dense. You are seeing light beings.
Wow.
Loved ones that you have known in this lifetime or heard about in this lifetime, and loved ones you have known eons of time ago that are wanting to be acknowledged as, I am still here, alive. I am still consciousness. I am still light.
Wow.
Wow.
That is a wow. There's so many, and they're so tiny.
Yes.
But it matters not.
Right. And when they come together, then they become a bit bigger as far as the light shining. Mm. It is not by accident that you chose that title for your work with children, the shining light. Mm-hmm. So the shining lights show up for you.
Yes. And that was the other realization that I had today, is it was such a gift for me to have met Jerry, and I think it's Jane, because there are times within my day that I maybe question what's happening with my work. And yet, when I always come here, there's renewed faith and renewed trust.
Yes.
And it's strengthening.
Yes.
And it strengthened huge today.
It is not by accident that you found yourself here and that the two you have been speaking of, Jerome and Jean, as you're known in this lifetime, were also nudged, very strongly nudged, to be here. And yet you looked at the map and you said, well, that is a bit of a distance away. But there was a very strong feeling that you were being invited. And you were being invited by all of the ones in this room, but especially by the one that you connected with in this day. All of you have been invited to be here, to be in association with other friends and ones of like mind. Even if you have thought, well, I'm just going to have a good time, there has been underlying reason, divine reason, that you are here now and that some others are not here because it was not part of the, collective that comes together, arrangement for them to be here at this time. Later on, they will be here as there is invitation, as there is purpose. Oftentimes you come, and especially with the more often, more frequent meetings, as you call them, you come to be entertained, to have an inspirational message. And yet truly what you do is you come together to share with each other the revelations that you have been having, the questions you have been having, and to share the hugs, the laughter, the love that is so enriching that if you miss a meeting or so, you really do feel the lack of that energy. So you have put all of this together by design. You are always in the right place at the right time, always by invitation. Oftentimes my invitation, but also your own that you send out to, is there anyone else out there that I can talk with? And then surprise of surprises, you find that actually there's a whole grouping of people who think like I do. And it feels good to be able to be free, as you have already put words to it, to be free to speak the mind and to open up the heart. Then if you go back to your employment and you find that they are still very focused with the blinders on as to what they think their purpose in life is, it doesn't matter to you because your heart is already opened and you go back renewed. There's not so much going back as going forward.
I have one more thing to ask.
Yes.
With Jerry and I's situation right now with the work, yes. I'm just wondering if you have anything to share with us or any inspiration with regards to what maybe Jerry might be doing. Or
now you were speaking of the light, or you were
the
speaking
light, yes.
of Jerome. You're no, speaking light, of the light.
The light.
The light is always very busy. The light knows his direction, even if it is not apparent at first. The light is very supportive of your work and believes in what you do, is very proud of what you do, very quietly proud, and sometimes prod you to do a few things, but in a loving way. The light has his own path. He is well liked and is always in demand for doing various projects. He does not have what you call a set path. There are ones of you who have known from the time you were able to speak, even, that what you were going to do as your life work. And then It might have taken a few twists and turns along the way, but basically you knew what you wanted to do. The light has a lot of varied talent, so that he uses it in some areas at one time and other talents in another time, and is quite free. He is, you have already acknowledged, a free spirit. So his path is free. You will not have to worry about the golden coins. You have seen that in the past, that always you have been provided for, sometimes in the most interesting ways, but it all has always come through for you. It will continue to come through. And the light, it just flows. You cannot predict. You know where it has been, but you're not quite sure where it's going.
That's very true. Thank you. I love you.
And I you. Yes. Beloved brother, how are you this evening?
Oh, I'm wonderful.
This is true. That is what some of your friends say about you. He is a wonder.
You spoke the other evening about Maldek, some intelligence.
Yes.
Living on Maldek.
Yes.
Are they in prison there? Are they the ones that blew the planet up, responsible for it?
In truth, no. There is no what you would call judgment or guilt associated with it. That is a human attribute. The ones who are still there as intelligence are, as you would call, caretakers. They are there just to guide the path, to be there for a while. They're not always there. They come and go.
Okay.
And sometimes they have what you call the rotating shifts of ones who come in for a while and others go. So it is not always the same intelligence as you would understand the individuated intelligence.
Yeah, okay. I've often thought that the father of the hydrogen bomb, Dr. Edward Teller, was from Maldek.
This is true. He was quite highly evolved in the scientific thought on Maldek. And so he brought with him a remembrance of what could be and how energy can be used, and what also does happen with energy. So yes, you have discerned a truth.
Thank you.
Beloved one, what would you speak of? Very good salad, by the way. A spaghetti, I think.
Yeah,
you did
spaghetti.
Okay.
I came here with some pretty heavy questions and felt like I really needed answers, and I'm just having so much healing and light and laughter that they feel far away from me, but I'm afraid I'm going to get home and be faced with the situations again, so I'm going to go ahead and ask my questions.
Right.
As you know, I just had to make a very big change at my job.
Right.
Brought up a lot of grief for me.
Yes.
And for some reason, I feel like I'm attracting an almost attacking energy from certain personalities. And in leaving the one floor to get away from that, I've just come up against it again. And I just want to understand what's going on with that, what part is me, maybe the higher picture of what it's all about, maybe some guidance what to do about it.
When you return to the employment, you are going to be in a different space than when you were struggling and before you came here. So you are going to have a different perception of what is going on. We have spoken in previous times that there is a certain pattern of how you have perceived others perceiving you. And this is true for all of you. So as I speak to this one individual, it is not just you. It is a human quality and a human tendency. When you return, you are going to be very grounded in yourself. You have been healed as you have been here. You have felt that already, all of the burdens of just rising up and leaving. And not by any heavy effort on your part, but it's just each day when you wake up, you have felt lighter. This will go with you as you return back to the employment and back to the dwelling place. And you will have a knowing within yourself that it really doesn't matter how they see you or if they see you at all. Because truly, they don't see you. They only see you through their perception of what they have experienced in the past. And that is not true. It is their perception, and it is molded by what they have known in their own lifetimes, so that they think that's the way how things are.
Why is it that all of a sudden I've attracted so much of it when I've had all these years there without it, I guess?
Well, as we have spoken in previous times, there has been a lifetime pattern. It is not just the employment, but there has been throughout the lifetime a repeat pattern because you have wanted to be complete with it. So it is not just the employment and where you are right now with the ones who surround you right now. It goes back to your family and to other lifetimes as well. Other lifetimes that were very traumatic. And so you have come into this lifetime and you have said, I want to be complete with that. I want to heal all of that. And so you had the childhood and the family that was not so loving and supportive. And it has then reinforced some of the perception that you have had about the world is not a friendly place. But you have then gifted yourself groupings such as this who love you, see you for the true being that you are, and you each time move higher in your completion of how you think the world is and how the world sees you. Now truly, the ones you work with, and I'm saying this to all of you, they do not see you. They are not concerned about you. When they do turn their focus of attention to you, it is brief, and it is molded by what they have known in other lifetimes and how they think you are. But it is not truly you. And most of the time, they are too busy wondering how you are seeing them and having an untrue realization in that area as well. So you don't have to worry about it. You can go back healed and just let them do their thing and be like the duck with the water that runs off the back and not to worry about it. Yes, in the world you are going to have harsh energies because ones have known in their previous lifetimes the harshness of the world. And they think perhaps the best defense is offense, that they're going to attack you first. And that they have to be strong and they have to be armored and they're going to say whatever first. But truly, they are not seeing you. And most of the time, they are too busy trying to defend themselves and get the first word in there. So you don't have to worry about them. Just let it be like the water off the duck's back and know that truly you have wanted in this lifetime to know completion with all that is not holy.
I know when I first started this job, I very consciously made a pact with myself that the goal was that no matter where I was, including this intense hospital job,
right,
that I could stay in peace. And right. Boy, lately I'm going, why did I make that vow? Because this has been it's been so challenging for me to try to keep going back to peace.
Right.
And I had one day where I felt like you guided me to just keep giving it to you.
Yes.
And it worked. The day was very heavy.
Right.
I didn't feel touched by it, but it was real hard for me to maintain that.
That was very good. Anytime you feel that the world is too much with you and people are throwing all of their acid at you, give it over to me. Give it to me and I will transform it. I will love it. So give it over minute by minute and do not feel guilty that you have to give it over, perhaps minute by minute or hour by hour. Do not feel guilty and say, oh, I'm too weak. I should be able to handle this myself. I should, and put all the heavy shoulds on yourself. Give it over to me. Truly, I invite you to do that and allow yourself to stay in peace. The world issues right now are reaching a very high point of clarity, where the light is becoming brighter and the dark is becoming darker, and the twain do not meet harmoniously. And so you are going to, in the world, meet up with energies that don't seem to like you, energies that don't seem to like themselves. And you say, Father, Mother, Jeshua, how do I deal with this? Give it over to me. You have been invited to be the light in that situation, in that collection of energy. That is all that is asked of you, is to be the light, to be the peace, to be the example, if you will. And if it seems to be too heavy, just say, I surrender, I give it over. Jeshua, I'll take it back later perhaps, but right now, you can have it. Mm-hmm. And I say, okay, I'll take it because I can, from my place of perception, love each and every one who may be going through what they feel to be a tough time so that they strike out. And they think they have to hurt others to bring them down so that you can be on equal footing rather than rising up. I can love them because I understand and I know their previous lifetimes, and I know how they have walked in the sandals of the harshness of the world. So I can love them. You don't have to take all that on your shoulders. Give it over. It is okay. And as I have said, don't take then as a replacement guilt. Okay. Don't say, ah, I should be able to handle this. I know all of the right books. I've read all of the right books. I've gone to all the right meetings, and I know that we are all divine. We are all walking love and light. But you know, I don't see that one in much light. So don't do a number on yourself. Just give it over.
One more question about it. I've been having a feeling since right before I left home to meet with my manager, who I do feel like is in my ballpark.
Right.
And explain to her what happened on the other unit, which I never have. And just to almost take the burden off of me and communicate with her what I'm feeling happening on this floor. Should I do that or...
Beloved one, where does the need to prove yourself right come from?
Well, I know that's the button that's getting pushed as I feel really misunderstood.
Yes.
And I feel like it's going on my permanent record at work because these people are writing me up.
How permanent?
Which is outrageous after all the vows I've had that have been excellent. So I don't know how to let that go. And I know that's the button.
Right. It comes from the human ego of wanting to be seen as doing a good job, being a good girl, doing the job perfectly. You do, in your own estimation, your own knowing, you do a perfect job. You love, you do all of the things that have to be attended to. What does it matter how they see you? What does it matter if they put it on the permanent record? In 100 years, is that permanent record going to be permanent? It won't even exist. It is the human ego that has to be right. Sometimes it takes too much effort to allow the human ego to feel right. In other words, there is a price to pay. And it is okay if you go to the supervisor and you say, hey, this is what happened, and I really was framed. I was doing my job and doing it as best I knew how, and they didn't see me that way. They didn't understand me. And you defend yourself to the new supervisor. That is the ego bringing up a whole lot of energy that you can do. I mean, it's a free choice. But at the end of it, the ego is still going to want more. You have already understood that because you wanted to explain yourself in the other situation, and the ego still, yeah, it did not work, and the ego still wanted more. Going back to the human feeling that all of you understand so well, you want to be acknowledged as a holy person, a perfect person. You want others to acknowledge your holiness. Well, they're not going to see it because they don't understand their own holiness. They're not looking for holiness. So they're not going to see it in you.
And is there a sense that my light is a threat to them? Is that why I'm attracting this?
In truth, no. You are attracting it because you want to be complete with it. You want to be free of it. It is difficult to hear these words because, again, it feels like you're being put down. You are not being put down. You're being raised up to a place where the ego can shut up and get off the stage. Because the I am ego of you knows you are doing a wonderful job. You care about people, and you are doing a miraculous job taking care of the ones that you now have to tend to because of the world situation. The I am ego knows what you are doing and does give to you the honor, respect, and praise. When the human ego raises its head, and it's very good at raising its head and saying, oh, maybe you're not doing well enough. You only had 30 people register for the advance. Maybe you're not as good as you should be. Maybe, etc. I mean, you can all apply it to instances within your own life of how you feel. And so you try to get acknowledgement to satisfy the ego. Well, the ego, its job, its scripting, is to never be complete, to satisfy, right? That isn't its scripting. Its scripting is to run on stage and say, hey, look what's happening here. Make it right. You can't make it right.
Yeah, that's what I'm sensing.
It's already right. That's where you want to move into. Mm-hmm. It is already right, so you can't make it right. But you can go and see it rightly. Now you can go and see that everyone there is struggling with their own challenge. Mm-hmm. They're all struggling to satisfy their own ego that rises up from time to time. And you can see them as the small children playing in the sandbox. And sometimes they throw that sand all over anybody who is within range. And you get hit by some of the sand and it doesn't feel very good. But that's what, if you can move into that space of seeing them as the small children playing in a sandbox, you can love them. Because little children, this is what they do. They get in there and maybe you have built the most wonderful sandcastle and you're so proud of what you've built and they come along and they just whoop, knock it down. And then they tell you on top of the fact that they've just ruined your sandcastle that there's a report due on Friday and you'd better get it done in speedy time. And already you have 50 reports that you've been working on. Human ego is never going to be satisfied.
So just do my work and love it and let it all go.
Exactly.
Okay. Yes. Thank you very much.
You are a teacher. And that is why you are in this situation. It is to teach. It is for you to know completion with all of the nitty-gritty of the human ego. Yes. That is what you have asked for.
A good stage.
Yes, you have. But you are also a teacher to the others. And whether they get it or not, that is not your responsibility. In my lifetime, there were many that I wanted them to see how beautiful the world could be when they would take their understanding and their peace into the world instead of fighting each other. But there were ones who didn't hear that, couldn't hear it, and kept on fighting with each other, fighting with themselves, fighting with the mates, with the children. And my heart sometimes was grieving because I couldn't get the message across, or so I thought. And yet, there were some who did get it. So it is not your responsibility. If they get it, that is good. If they don't get it, next time round, they'll probably have to reinvent the wheel, and maybe they'll get it that time. But be okay with the role of teacher, the quiet teacher. One of the things that I have meant to speak to you about as the scenes, one of the things that we practiced was the gentle voice, the quiet voice, but also the gentle voice that doesn't stir up the beast. You have a saying about music stills the heart of the beast, something like that. And we as Essenes were taught to use the gentle voice for the most part. Now there were times, and it is recorded in your Holy Bible, where I did raise my voice. But for the most part, it is not necessary. You can use the gentle voice. You can be the gentle person. That has somehow fallen out of favor. You used to be the gentle man and the gentle woman. This used to be the title. And it acknowledged an earlier time when you knew yourself to be gentle energy, loving energy. So it was the gentle man and the gentle woman. These were the ones who were looked up to. That has somehow, along with a lot of other remembrances, have been put aside meantime. So use the gentle voice when you speak with yourself. Yes.
Thank you. Love you.
And I you. That is why I speak directly to you. But it is not just you as an individual. All of you struggle with the same thing of self-image and of the human ego saying, well, you sure blew that one. How come you aren't doing better? I mean, that's the human ego's script. So, of course, it runs on stage and says, you're doing it again. They're seeing you in a certain way. Who cares? Use the gentle voice for yourself and on yourself when you talk to yourself. Thank you for asking that, because it applies to everyone.
Thank you.
Ah, there is one behind you. Yes, beloved one, what would you speak of?
Well, I was just commenting to people today that whenever I go into meditation and ask for my beloved brother Joshua to come through to talk to me, there's this whoosh of a feeling, and suddenly I forget what the question was.
Right.
And so I figure I must be healed.
Yes.
So I'm so grateful to Sue for bringing this up, because I arrived here. I was having to say mantras about my sister, kept sending her love, beaming her love. We'll just change the agreement, don't worry about it. And I kept slipping into the, I found myself slipping into ego, kind of wanting to make the situation change for myself, even though I knew it was all her stuff. And basically it's the same kind of situation. She's alone a lot of the time, and so she has a tendency to be a slight bit kind of paranoid, thinking people are doing things they're not, or speaking about things that we didn't speak about, or sort of the blame thing. And it felt just so totally that you were speaking to me when you spoke to Sue. And I had a really important question to ask you about Linda, my sister, and I can't remember what it is.
It has been healed.
So, and when you said to to give it to you.
Yes.
What a relief.
Yes.
Because as soon as you go to that place, or if I go to that place of okay, I can say this, 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 and this, and do that, then it gets back into that other place of ego. But as soon as I say, as soon as I know that you're going to take it on,
right.
It's almost like you're the overseer who can go and pat her on the head and calm the waters.
Right.
Right? Because when she moved in with us, I didn't sign up for what's going on right now.
There is a bit of that going on these days, yes.
I was...
Thank you for that.
Okay, so, but the other thing that I'm really grateful for, and that's that I'm really seeing that just because you are Christed, like myself, of course. No, I'm kidding. But I'm not kidding.
No, you are not kidding.
But just because I'm in that place doesn't mean I still don't struggle with the things that come up for me for healing. And that's my biggest learning this time, is that I've met the most wonderful, beautiful people who opened up to me at the house and told me almost identically what had gone on for me.
Right.
And I went, ugh.
Right.
Just because everybody else is also comes with the same struggles.
Right.
So in a way, and yet they're walking forward. They're still managing in their lives. They're still bright lights making everybody love to be around them.
Right.
Even though they've been through exactly the terror and trauma that I've been through.
Right.
But the other thing is, I no longer feel as though when I share things that go wrong, that I don't go into the drama so much as be aware that I need to move into that space of knowing that we are the oneness, we are God, and
right.
that what we say out loud to others can kind of manifest.
It does.
And so we better watch out what we think and say. Irk. Oh, well. Okay. So, thank you, Joshua.
Thank you. Beloved brother, yes.
Beloved, thank you very, very much for everything. And I, as I've listened here, I also felt part of my family with my youngest son, Andrew, similar things.
Right.
The other fascinating thing are the 47 stories about you.
Yes.
From Aaron.
Right.
And I cried with just the sheer beauty and joy and innocence and wisdom.
Right.
That I felt as I read that. So if any of you haven't read that book, it is just profound for everything we're learning.
Right.
And I just feel the depth of love with you and with the joy of life now. So I thank you, and I thank all of you who've been here this time. So the joy and love that is here is profound beyond imagination.
It is. And you have brought it. You have desired to feel it. And so it has been shared. It is not I who have brought it. It is because you have brought it. You have desired to know it and to be in that space of love with each other. So therefore, that which you have desired is manifest. Yes, beloved angel.
Thank you, angel.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask about the place that we have in San Diego, Bonsall. And I've had a vision from you that the place is to be a retreat.
Yes.
At some point in some time. And also that it's going to be conjoined with several other buildings around us.
Yes.
And also, having seen the orbs around me, and also above us, there's seemingly a grotto. And I keep looking up at it.
Right.
As if there is a message for me there and for all of us.
Right.
Could you tell us me a little more about that and whether this community is going to be an art community or whether it's going to be extension of what we have here today and all the folks here?
It will be what you want it to be. you individually and you collectively. As it is seen now, it has the possibility of being one of the places where the heart family, which is all of you, will want to visit. Some will stay longer, some will be what you call the year-round, and some will come just for a week or two. But yes, you have seen into the future with a vision, and it will manifest as you want it to. Each one so gathered in this room, you have feeling, and those within the sound of my voice also have feeling of wanting to be in community with each other. And I have spoken up to this point that you are truly already in community with each other because there is no separation. And then you have said, yes, but I want to be able to speak with the tones of voice with each one and to be able to see with the physical eyes and to be able to reach out and hug and to break bread with my brothers and sisters of like mind and like heart. So you will be, in the days to come, the future, you will be setting up several places where ones will come. The same as you did, we did, as it seems. There were several places that were more large and more remembered. But there were many other places as well where we would travel and we would know welcome on our travels. So you will be recreating, because you want to be together, some of the same that you have known as the scenes. So your vision and your location will be one of them.
And one last quick question. Thank you for that information. Also, you spoke about another vision that came for me, and that is that when I go to Poland this year, there will be a remembrance and a message there.
Yes.
Last night we were talking about Mary Magdalene, and I know that Mary Magdalene is the Black Madonna.
Right.
And she has performed wondrous feats there.
Right.
And I have just been hearing about more vortexes or more sacred places there. Could you address that as to how that is going to affect the community there in Poland, as well as the darkness from, as I would say, the Russians and the Germans that have always created a dark area around Poland, and how is it's going to be lifted?
It is already lifting, because there is much of evolution that is happening all over the face of our Holy Mother, the Earth, as each area will awaken and evolve into a place of wanting to love. And that is beginning to happen. It is well in progress. It affects other areas across the face of our Holy Mother Earth as well. So you are going to be seeing a changed collective. And it is in process of changing even more. One of the reasons you are going is for individual remembrance, yes, but also to hasten the understanding that it is okay to love, that it is okay to respect. In fact, it is necessary to love and to respect and to call out the various talents of ones. This geographical area that you are going to, known as Poland now, has been the birthplace of much creativity over the centuries. And it is not by accident that you are going to make trek there again to awaken some of that creativity, that creative energy. It will affect you and your work, but it will also affect others that you will be speaking with. You will give encouragement, because here you are from a far land, seemingly, and you have a somewhat different look about how you look upon the world affairs, and you know freedom of speech, so that you will speak your mind, not to the point that it has been in other lifetimes where it was off with the head because she says other ideas. That has happened to you in the past, but it will not happen this time. So you will have impact, and it will also have impact on you and your work, what you see to be the artistic work. Although all of your life is an artistic work. Very good. One more question, and then we will have a break.
Okay, I would like to tackle a little bit on the multidimensionality of who we are.
Right.
So if I put this into third-dimensional terms, just for the sake of conversation,
right.
I'm one slice of an orange.
Yes.
With many, many slices that are all the bigger Marty.
Right.
Okay, so far.
That is a good way, yes.
How do I communicate with the others? There are surely some experts in there on many things.
I could.
How do we communicate with other aspects of our multidimensional self?
By osmosis.
Oh. Elaborate, please.
By knowing that the seemingly separate part that you have focused upon right now,
yes,
is part of the whole, and there can be communication with any other part of the orange. Well, we'll take that as a very,
yes,
good example, as a sphere. And you may see the point of focus of the now person being perhaps here.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to communicate with this person, mm-hmm, of you here. There is what you call vibratory wavelength that passes through, now I'm using third dimension here,
yes,
the membranes of the orange,
yes,
by osmosis, and reaches the other part of you that is being invited to know awareness. Let us put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
There is always the oneness of the orange.
Yes.
It happens, again, by invitation. It happens by knowing trust. It happens by visioning the flow of the juice of the orange through the osmosis, through the various membranes, to whatever part of the orange, be it up here, down here, over here, wherever, as you vision the energy of the divinity that you are flowing through by invitation, by desire, by intent, by expectancy, by knowing.
Ah, uh-huh. I was wondering, I knew there was something that I could glean. I'm an opportunist at heart.
Oh, yes.
So I'd like to make the most of it, since it's part of me.
Right.
And so this communication thing, I couldn't understand how to go about it, but you give me some very,
yes,
good tips. Are we not all on the same time? Are there some future, some past, some... So
you have discerned,
so
well.
This would also be a way to go,
right,
every which way,
yes,
if right within my own being.
Right. It is much the same as the exercise we did last evening, where you floated to the past,
mm-hmm,
on the breath, or, mm-hmm, floated to the future on the breath. You can do the same with any aspect of self that is within, as you have used the concept of orange.
Mm-hmm.
You float. You envision. You start out with intent,
mm-hmm,
and by inviting the other part of you, and you, as I have described osmosis, but you can use the float idea, you float through time, either to what will be acknowledged as a past time or be acknowledged as a future time.
And how will I know what is an aspect self and what is an outside of myself? Hint.
In truth, there is nothing outside of you. So anything you get
is
true and is you. How do novelists write a novel?
One word at a time.
Exactly, one word at a time. One idea at a time, opening the imagination and floating into another time or into a past time, and taking on the characteristics of the subjects in the novel that they are writing. This is what you will do. It will feel like you are imagining it.
Yep.
And that is a tool that you have built into this reality that allows you to escape, meantime, the very strict focus of just this. So use the imagination. Float forward, backward, or just float. And then when you bump into another aspect of yourself, which will happen quite easily, do what we did with the exercise of looking at the feet. Look how the raiment is. Ask of the self, mm-hmm. Who are you? What time period are we in? Sometimes you can tell it by the raiment or by the feet or whatever. Use those as clues. And then talk to that self.
You make it sound so simple.
It is truly. Pretend that you are
pretend
a novelist.
Uh-huh.
Pretend that you want to communicate with another self of you, another aspect of you. Pretend you are the novelist and you're going to write the story of who you have been or who you will be. And you'll be surprised at what comes.
Thank you very much, Joshua. You'll be help.
It is very good that you asked that question because it was an aspect of something I wanted to touch on, the multidimensionality that we have sort of skirted around from time to time and how to get in touch with other selves of you. Okay, now we will have a break for what you call the 12 and a half minutes, and then we will continue. So be it. Gentle ones, blessed ones, children of the Most High, I am the one known as Mary, Mother of God. And I am, and so are you. I was the one who was chosen and willingly agreed to birth the one who made demonstration of life everlasting, to live with that one as he was small, and to be in rapture, joy, and challenge with him as he grew in wisdom and in stature. For he was, as you would call it in these days, precocious. He remembered his heritage. And he had many questions. Your small ones in this day and time have many questions. Usually, why? Why this? Why not? And you come up with all kinds of intellectual reasons. And they say, but why? Doesn't satisfy. Joshua was the same. He had many questions. He was always questioning the status quo. He was always questioning what was being given to him as truth. And knowing in his own heart the truth with a capital T of the divinity of everyone. As a very small one, he had love outpouring from the various cells of the body. You would call it the aura, I suppose, but anywhere he walked, you could feel the love. When he would play with the other children in the village, he played as the human child and also as the divine child. And oftentimes, he, just by his presence, would calm whatever the boisterousness of the other children would be. He would point out an easy way to be, a loving way to be. But he was also a boy, and he also enjoyed the physicality, learning to use the body. He had an older cousin by the name of John. You have called him the Baptist. And his cousin John was some months older than him, something to the tune of 9 or 10 months. And he was very strong of body, John. So was Yeshua. But Yeshua was comparing himself often to John and wanting to be able to do all of the things, especially when he was very small, to run as fast, to jump as high, to climb the tree as fast as John would. And because he was a bit smaller, he could not always do what John could do. And so he learned early on the human feeling of competitiveness, of jealousy, of envy, to the place sometimes where his father and I would send him out to sit by flowing water and to contemplate how water does not judge itself, does not compete, does not try to go over the rocks, but goes around the rocks, is gentle in its nature and yet is very strong in its nature. So there were times when we would say, Yeshua, go, sit by flowing water, and don't come back until you are peaceful. Oftentimes he would not come back for hours, and it was not because he had to wrestle with himself, but because he enjoyed the peacefulness of being by flowing water. Some of you in this week have been experiencing the flowing water and the power of it and the beauty of it. You have had a question asked of the multidimensionality of being, and it was not by accident that I asked to have time to speak in the second half, because I knew that there would be the question arising. You see, we work together. One mind. As I appear here with you and I am speaking with you, I am also in many other areas speaking with ones who are calling upon me. When ones pray to me, I answer. Always I am with you, no matter where you may see yourself to be on this planet or another constellation, another planet, another dimension, I am there as well. I am the commander of a spaceship as well, because I have wanted to know the adventure. You see, when one ceases finally, and I lived for quite a few years in the lifetime that is so famous, but when one lays down that body, one does not cease being. One does not cease wondering, wanting to know and create even more. So I have wanted to know, how would it feel to be in one of the most wonderful technological spaceships, using the energy of the divine to propel it forward, backwards, into other dimensions, visible, invisible. And so I did what you call the apprenticeship, and I learned, and I am now commander of a spaceship. The same as parts of you, aspects of you, as you would call future to me, are doing, even as we speak, even as you see yourself sitting in this room, in this lifetime. The greatest percentage of you is not here. The greatest percentage of you is off dancing in the heavens, having the feeling of freedom, knowing creativity. You have agreed that you will send part of yourself, the capital S self, the great self, to this reality and to this experience of density, so that you can play in the sandbox with the other brothers and sisters who have agreed that this is what they want to experience. And there is much of good in this kind of lifetime. There is much of love that you feel, as you have felt in the days you have been together, the few days. You have felt a coming together, a recognition of love and acceptance, acknowledgement of your struggles, of your questions, and of your answers, as you would speak with ones, and you would say, this is something that I've been playing with. I wonder if, maybe if I put it into words and I talk with you, maybe we'll get a clue. And so you have been very open with others, speaking about what is happening for you. And you have found affirmation that has allowed you to go forth even further with what you have been experiencing and how you have been seeing yourself and where you fit in to the world. It is most wonderful that you call together a grouping such as this. And as my son spoke to you earlier, it would be advantageous, you would enjoy it, to meet more often than just once a year, because the times, as they were 2,000 years ago, the times are chaotic right now, because it is a birthing time. And when there is a birthing time, there is much of labor. It is labor intensive, as you call it. And it is intense. And there is much that is being upheaved, much of upheaval that is happening. Because when you go to plant a garden, the first thing you do is to dig in the soil and to heave it up and to till the soil so that the seeds can be planted in the soil. That is what is happening now with the collective understanding of humanity. There is much of the digging in the soil to get down to the truth of the matter, to get down to remembrance of divinity. And whenever there is a bit of the digging and the upheaving of the soil, it can feel very traumatic. It can feel very painful. And it can feel that all of the beliefs that you have depended on have somehow left you, and that you are at best on shaky ground sometimes, or on no foundation at all. Many of the brothers and sisters are feeling this right now. They do not feel that any of the old beliefs that they have been taught are supporting them. And the old beliefs do not support them, because they are moving into an awakening, enlightenment of understanding the light beings that they are, and the expansiveness of the self, as you have asked about aspects of self. And so in a time such as this, in a time such as it was 2,000 years ago, there is much that is being changed and much of vibration that comes up against itself, opposition, that has to give forth a new vibrational quality. And when you are going through that, it can feel very painful. It can feel very fearsome. And so you will want to remember parts of yourself that are very strong. Parts of yourself that have been, as you see, past lives perhaps, and you tune into how you have been in past human lives, how you have been in past lives in another dimension, and call upon those qualities to see you through this time of change as well. 2,000 years ago was a time that was undergoing a new way of thinking. It was time that the old was no longer serving. And yet, there were many of the brothers and sisters who wanted to hold on to the old way because it was their security. And when one such as you and the communities of the Essenes who remembered past knowing of strength, of divinity, of spirit, of soul purpose, when you would speak of that, oftentimes there was the opposition, so that you would come together in a community where you could know support for each other, and then you would travel out to other villages, and oftentimes you would live amongst the brothers and sisters, the same as you are doing now, and take on the appearance of being the same as they, to live the human life, to have the children, to have the struggles, to have all of the challenges of self-image, etc., so that ones who are wanting to wake up to their remembrance of divinity, wanting to know the larger self of themselves, can see you and can see that you struggle with human challenge and that you have gone through various stages of life. You have raised the small ones, you have had disappointments with the small ones as they've grown a bit taller, and then you've come to a place of accepting them for who they are and loving them as they are, and sometimes having discussions that have gone full circle to the place where you find that truly all that really matters is love. So ones in your village, in your place of employment, where you are living the human life, they can relate to you, and you are able to speak to them of hope, of revelation, of knowing that there is much more to life than just the struggles. You can even explain to them in words that they will understand that this is a time when ones are wanting to find their worth, that you call it diversity, and diverse ways of living with each other can be honored and treasured as gemstones and looked upon as treasure, not to be looked upon as just strange and to be judged as something that has to be outcast from the village, which has been in the past. If you were not of the same thinking, then there was the invitation that you go, live in the woods, the forest, get out of the village. We don't want to hear what you have to say. Now sometimes you have that same repeat feeling that the village that you're in doesn't always understand you. But you come to their level to lift them up. You meet them where they are, and you love them for what they do remember and what they do find worthy in themselves and in you and in the other brothers and sisters that they have interplay with. You love them for where they are in it, and then you suggest from time to time perhaps a wider view. Sometimes because of what you experience in the human life. You teach by being. Oftentimes, just as you are speaks more loudly than any of the most fancy words that you think you can come up with and try to give it to them in a nutshell, and they don't know how to crack the nutshell. But they look at you. And they see you, and they see how you have come through the various relationships, how you have made a life for yourself, how you have had loved ones who have left and yet are still with you. And you give to the seemingly younger souls the wisdom that you have gained because you have struggled, and then you have come to a place of peace with whatever you were struggling with. And they gain then hope. That is one of the greatest gifts that you can give to anyone, is the gift of hope, the gift that this too shall pass, and that you are greater than all of your challenges. You are greater than anything that seems to come to you that you have to fix, make right, work your way through. Because you know, deep within yourself, you are going to come through any challenge. Others may not know that, but because you have done it, they can have hope for themselves that there can be a better day for them. So this time now is very much like 2,000 years ago, except that it is a bit like you have a toy for the small ones, and sometimes the taller ones as well, that is called the coil. The slinky is the name. 2,000 years ago, you were at a certain level. And we worked 2,000 years ago at that certain level. It has come in a cycle around several times, actually, to a place where you are farther up on the coil. It seems like perhaps not too much has evolved, but there has been evolution and awakening that has happened. You are, as a collective, no longer at the very bottom. That was some long, long time ago. And even 2,000 years ago, there had been some progress to bring you to that level. And since that time, you have, because of your remembrance of the light that you are and the willingness to come and live the human lives one more time, and often this is what you have said, okay, one more time. No more. One more. And then you have lived that lifetime and you have seen how you have given hope and love and a different self-image to ones because you have loved them. And you have released the body because that was what was expected of you. And in between lifetimes, you floated as intelligence and you felt very peaceful with it. And you looked at the brothers and sisters and you thought, okay, one more time. And sometimes you have questioned and you have said, why? Where does it say? I have heard you say this. Where is my contract? Where did I sign this contract? And why did I not read the fine print?
Yeah, that's right.
And no, you cannot rip it off. Because you have too much love for yourself and for the brothers and sisters. And that is why you come back to be, to love, to serve the light that you are, and to remember and to give hope to everyone you meet. Oftentimes, you will put yourself in the most challenging positions because that is where you are needed. One of the questions you were asking earlier is, why am I there? Why is this happening again? Why am I doing this? All of you have asked. Oftentimes, you will put yourself in the most challenging positions because that is where you are needed. That is where you have been invited to be, and to be gentle example of love. Just to be. You don't have to have studied at the great universities. You don't have to have the abbreviations of the letters after your name to be the wise person. You only have to be the presence of love and to spread joy wherever you are. To reach out and to touch, physically touch ones. And sometimes they will not want that. It will be almost as you have touched them with a burning hot hand because they have lived in darkness and in coldness so long. And they will step back from it and you will think, oh my goodness, I overstepped my bounds. But no, if you had not touched them, if you had not reached out and touched them, how would they know that there is something else? So do not, when you find the reaction of other ones to be a bit judgmental or harsh, do not take guilt upon yourself and say, I have done wrong. What you have done is to offer them opportunity to feel something different and to look at things differently. Never be afraid to extend love. Never be afraid to speak words of love, and to laugh, not at them, but with them, and to make light of everything that occurs. Because one of the human qualities is to take yourself, and for others to take themselves, very seriously. It has been taught generation after generation that life has to be a struggle. It has even been taught in your religious philosophical groupings that if you struggle more in this lifetime, you will gain more rewards in heaven after you lay down the body. So therefore, ones will have diseasements of the body, and the more they suffer, the greater their reward will be. The more the challenge of relationships, if they come through harsh relationships, then the greater the love and the peace that they will have in heaven. But heaven is right here with you, wherever you are. You will find it, if you expect to, after you release the body. But you will find it with the body, if you expect to find it while you're still activating the body. Because heaven is your own true nature, your own divine nature. And you can have it anytime you choose to look at another one and to look with the eyes of love and to have the smile on the face. It brings everything into the proper proportion. A little bit of heaviness for the world to be balanced by a whole lot of love. As a Jewish mother raising a precocious small one, who then grew in wisdom and in stature, I was his teacher sometimes. He was my teacher oftentimes. When he went through the demonstration known as the crucifixion, my heart, my human heart, felt pain and sadness and sorrow and confusion. I knew because of the Essene teachings, I knew because of the prophecies, I knew because of discussions he and I had had, that this was something that possibly would be a demonstration that he would do. It was one possibility. And I knew that life is forever ongoing, that life is what you make it. I knew that intellectually. It was another thing to stand at the foot of the cross and to see my firstborn nailed with the great spikes onto the cross to the place where there was the cessation of breathing, asphyxiation. And yet to know that because of the divine guidance of his soul and other souls working with him, he had been guided to study with masters everywhere on the face of this planet and in other dimensions, as you would call off-planet, how to remove the consciousness from the body to the place where he would not feel suffering and pain. I knew that he knew how to do that, and I hoped with my whole heart that he was remembering and had practiced well. I trusted. I hoped. I trusted. And I hoped. And I went back to the dwelling place, back to the upper room where we had celebrated the Passover, not only with the 12 men disciples, but with many women as well. And I waited with a group of friends who also knew intellectually, also hoped that he remembered and that he had practiced well and that he could do that which we knew he could do. And we waited. And then he came to us. And there was great rejoicing. He had shown us beyond intellectual knowing what we knew to be true, that you manifest the body moment by moment by moment. That is what you are doing now. That you can manifest a body the same as your science fiction now portrays with the collection of the light particles coming together, and there is the body. That is truly what you do, and that you can manifest a body anywhere, anytime. But he did it. He was not the first to do it. But he was the first in that circle of culture and the first in that level of the slinky, as you have called the coil, to do it at that time. So he showed to us that which we knew and had read in the ancient manuscripts, that which we knew could be done, that which you know right now can be done. And yet there is a part of you that is so focused upon this human life that you cannot see quite how it would be done. But he renewed our knowing. And he said, this that I do, you can do also. And even greater things will you do. And you have. You have in this day and time the technology that is showing you how connected you are with each other. You have the magic little box that you can pass the finger over and it changes and it will tap into whatever you want to know. It is showing you what you can do even without that small box. Because truly, you are the magician who is making it all happen, seemingly out there. But it would not be happening without your belief that it could happen. So therefore, it happens. You stand on the threshold of knowing the manifest feeling of how vast you are. You have prayed to me and to my son and to other ascended masters to know the freedom that allows you to come and go, to have the density of the body as is needed, and then other times to be free, to go as the light that you are, and then to remanifest the body. I will say to you something you are beginning to remember. You have all done this in other incarnations, as you understand incarnations. You have all ascended the body. Otherwise, there would not be that resonance, that relating, that understanding. As you speak computerese, that with a computer, there would not be the program. In other words, it wouldn't read it. But you have already ascended in a lifetime one of the aspects within your orange. You have already and are already an ascended master who has agreed that you will temporarily come back and say that you've forgotten. But you haven't forgotten because there is a little piece within you that keeps knocking upon the door of your awareness, saying to you, come up in remembrance, come up higher, ascend a little bit higher in remembering what you have done in the past. Remember what you will do seemingly in the future, because the future is now. Remember when you walked with me, because you did. All of you walked with me and with my son. All of you were in the Essene communities, different communities, but you knew each other, and you knew me, and I loved you then, and I love you now. And I will always love you because that is where we are, in love with each other. Always. That is your true being, your true nature. That is why you want to fall in love. That is why when you are growing up and you get past the cultural where boys don't like girls and girls aren't sure about boys type of thing, then what do you want most? You want to fall in love. You want the experience, the adventure of losing yourself in love. And you want that love to be everlasting, to hold that one's hand forever. And you will. Forever. Anyone you have ever loved is always with you. You can call them to mind. They may be incarnate in a body now, and you may run into them and relive past lifetimes. You have had powerful remembrances in the past couple of days, in other times as well. Anyone you have ever loved is always with you. There is nowhere else that they can go, or that you can go, that you would be apart. There is only one reality with a capital R. Only one isness. But you can play in various sandboxes, as my son has said. And you do this from time to time for the fun of it. All of you knew me. All of you know me. All of you love me and have prayed to me in various lifetimes as the culture would dictate. All of you have sought me over and over again, and you have asked for me to be with you. And I am, because I can be no place else. I am in your heart. I am in your mind, your thinking. I am in your dreams. I walk with you always. Where does the inspiration come from when you think you cannot go any further? When you are in a strange place, and perhaps there is vulnerability, seeming vulnerability to the body, and you want a friend. I come and I stand by the bedside. I come and I speak through the voice of a nurse, through a doctor, through a friend who will be there. Just happens to be there. I come because you call me. I come because I want to be with you in any time when you are facing a challenge that sometimes seems too big. I am with you. I have loved you as myself, because you are myself. I have loved you as my children, because in many of the lifetimes you have been my child. You have been my son. The one you know as Yeshua has told you that he and his beloved Mary and I traveled various parts of our Holy Mother Earth. And he and I, as sometimes a grandmother, would take in under our wing ones who were wanting a home. So you have, some of you, been my children in various lifetimes. All of you have been my children, adopted, extended family in lifetimes. For I had more than just that one lifetime that is so famous and so written about, as you have. Multidimensional beings have many lifetimes, of course. So we have always been together, and I am with you now, through whatever challenge you look at, whatever time you have questioning about where should I go, what should I do, am I good enough, can I do this, I am with you. I love you, because that is truly what you are, is a walker on two legs, a lover walking on two legs. If you ever need to put the initials after the name, you can put the initials L-O-T-L. Lover on two legs. Because you are walking, living love, expressing in your own unique way the love that is your divinity. blessed ones, gentle ones, as I have called you, children of the Most High, ascend unto me in love. So be it.
So be it. So be it.